we are beginning Be'ezras Hashem Masechta Shabbos as an introduction. The Torah in Parshas Yisrei, during the Aseres Hadibrais, says, Leisase kol melacha. It is usher to do work on Shabbos. And in Perek Klal Godel, here in Masechta Shabbos, Dafayin Gimel, we learn about 39 melachas which are usher to do on Shabbos. The first of the melachas listed is Zeireah, planting. And the last listed is Haitzah, carrying from a Rishus HaRabim into a Rishus HaYachid, or vice versa on Shabbos. If someone does one of the 39 melachas, and he does it bemezid, then he's chayev misa via misas bezdin, as long as there were edim and hasra. If there were no edim and hasra, then he's chayev misa via kares. If he did the melacha b'shayig, by accident, then he must bring a karban chatas. Shayig can mean either he knows about this isr melacha, but he forgot that today is Shabbos, or he knows today is Shabbos, but the act that he does, he doesn't realize that this act is also to do on Shabbos. In addition to the 39 Ovais Melachais that we'll learn on Dafayin Gimel, there are also many Toldos, derivatives, or secondary Melachas related to their respective Ovais. The punishment for being Oiver on a Tolda is usually the same as its Av. The basis for the Ovais Melachais of Shabbos are that they be Chashiva Melachais that were done in the Mishkan. For example, in the Mishkan they planted, therefore are not allowed to plant on Shabbos. Our first Mishnah will deal with the last of the 39 Melachas, the Melacha of Haitzah, carrying. Our Mishnah will begin with a case of Haitzah of a Balabais giving an Ani bread. And the Bartanur explains that the Tana chose this kind of a case, the case with the Ani, to tell us that even though the Balabais is doing a mitzvah, he's giving tzedakah, it still doesn't free the Balabais from Shmir Shabbos, and he is over on the Isser of Haitzah, because this is called a mitzvah haba ba'avera. We should point out a number of things. First of all, we should mention that haitzah, when we say haitzah, the malacha of haitzah, this means to transport an object from a rishus hayachid, a private domain, to a rishus harabim, an open public domain, or vice versa. Transporting from a private domain to a public domain is called haitzah, carrying out, while if a person does the reverse, that's called hachnasa, carrying in. To understand the malacha of haitzah and the full application of its halachas, it's very important to define the different types of domains which exist. And there are four types of domains. Number one, a rishus harabim, a public domain. Number two, a rishus hayachit, a private domain. Number three, a karmelis, which is a semi-public domain. And number four, a mokum petur, which is a no-domain area. The explanation of these rishuyos is based on excerpts taken from the Sefer Zohar V'Shamer, written by Rabbi E. Falk in Gateshead, England. First, let's talk about a Rishus HaRabim, a public domain. A Rishus HaRabim is an area that is both suitable and also actually used by a multitude of people. Examples would include a road running through a city, a road running from city to city, a marketplace, a city square, a gathering place, or a similar area that is heavily used by the public. The basic qualifications required for a place to be called a Rishus HaRabim are as follows. The area must be 16 amos wide, or the road must be at least 16 amos wide. The area must not be covered. The area must not be surrounded by walls. And the area must be used by a multitude of people. And some shittos hold the road must be used by 600,000 people. The principal specifications now of a Rishus HaYachid, of a private domain, are as follows. A Rishus HaYachid is an area suitable for use by an individual because it's enclosed. For example, a house, a garden, or a vehicle. These are typical forms of a Rishus HaYachid. The qualifications required for a place to be called a Rishus HaYachid are as follows. The overall ground area must be 4x4 tvachim. So anything that's smaller than this is not considered suitable for an individual's use under normal circumstances, and therefore it can't be called a Rishus HaYachid. Number two, the area must be surrounded by walls, and it has to be enclosed by walls that are at least 10 tvachim high on all four sides. Finally, although it's called a Rishus HaYachid, it does not necessarily have to be privately owned. Now let's talk about a karmelis, which is a semi-public domain. A karmelis is an area which has a ground space of 4x4 tvachim, but has neither the specifications of a Rishus HaRabim, nor of a Rishus HaYachid. Therefore, it can't be classified as a Rishus HaRabim or a Rishus HaYachid. A karmelis is an innovation of Chazal. Midaraisa, there's only a Rishus HaRabim or Rishus HaYachid. This area, therefore, as far as the Torah is concerned, is not a domain at all. Accordingly, to transport from a karmelis to either a Rishus HaRabim or a Rishus HaYachid is mutter midaraisa. Of course, it's also midarabanan. This is since the article, according to the Torah, is not being transported from one domain to the other, because a karmelis midaraisa is not a domain. Chazal, however, upgraded this type of an area, which has a ground area of at least 4x4 tvachim, and made it into a new type of domain called a karmelis. Since this area has a similarity to a Rishus HaYachid, not being frequented by many people, and to a Rishus HaRabim, by being open and available to everyone, Chazal gave it the Isurim of both a Rishus HaYachid and a Rishus HaRabim, hence the name karmelis, which means neither hard nor soft, indicating this domain is neither specifically public or private. Examples of a karmelis would be a road which lacks the specifications of a Rishus HaRabim. For example, if it's less than 16 amos wide, or it runs under a bridge and is therefore covered. Or certain mounds or pillars. Or a hole or a depression. Or areas that are large enough to be Rishus HaRabim, but are not frequented by many people. For example, fields, hills, the ocean, rivers, and so on. These are all called a karmelis. Finally, an area which is a Rishus HaYachid midaraisa, i.e. it's surrounded by three walls, but it's not walled in on the fourth side as required by Chazal, that acquires the status of a karmelis. Finally, a makom patur. This is a no-domain area. Makom patur is a tiny area of less than 4x4 tvachim, and 4x4 tvachim would be 32 centimeters times 32 centimeters, or possibly as many as 38x38 centimeters. And this makom patur is within a Rishus HaRabim. It must be at least 3 tvachim higher or lower than the general ground level, and is therefore not part of the Rishus HaRabim itself. Examples of makom patur would be a trash can fixed to a lamppost or a wall within a Rishus HaRabim. This trash can does not have a ground area of 4x4 tvachim, and is therefore called a makom patur. Or street drains in a road, which are usually less than 4x4 tvachim, and are more than 3 tvachim lower than the general ground surface. Now let's begin the Mishnah. Yitziyais HaShabbos Shtayim Shehen Arba Bifnim. If a man is standing inside a house, i.e. inside a Rishus HaYachid, there are two cases in which he can be over on an Isser Daraisa for Haitza B'Shabbos, and an additional two cases where there was a possibility of an Isser Darabanan. So you have a total of 4. And these are all cases where the man inside, Bifnim, gives it to a man outside, Bachutz. What are the cases? For example, a Baal Bayis is inside, he's in the Rishus HaYachid, and an Ani is outside the house in the Rishus HaRabim. If the Ani sticks his hand into the Rishus HaYachid and puts a basket into the hand of the Baal Bayis, so this Ani made an Akira from the Rishus HaRabim, and then a Hanocha into the Rishus HaYachid, or the Baal Bayis has a basket, the Ani takes it, so therefore the Akira is in the Rishus HaYachid, and the Hanocha is in a Rishus HaRabim, in both cases the Ani is Chayef. So if he did it B'mezit, he's Chayef Misa. If he did it B'shoigig, he's Chayef a Karban Chatas. He made both the Akira and the Hanocha. But the Baal Bayis is Potter, because he did neither the Akira or the Hanocha. If it's vice versa, the Baal Bayis handed the basket to the Ani, i.e. the Akira was done in a Rishus HaYachid, and the Hanocha in a Rishus HaRabim, then the Baal Bayis is Chayef. And if it's B'mezit, it's Misa. If it's B'shoigig, it's a Karban Chatas. But the Ani is Potter. We should point out that generally speaking, in this Masechta, when we say Potter, we mean Potter Aval Oser. L'chatchila, it's Oser to do a Melacha, but B'di'evet, if it's done, there is no punishment. Or there's no Karban Chatas if it was done B'shoigig. But in our case here, in our Mishnah, there is an exception to this rule. When we say Potter, the Baal Bayis is Potter, for example, we mean that it's Mutter L'chatchila, since he did nothing wrong. He made neither an Akira or a Hanocha. And here are the cases, the Mishnah says, which have an Isser Midrabanan. Number one, if the Ani stretches his hand into the Rishus HaYachid, i.e. he made an Akira, in the air, and the Baal Bayis took it from him, therefore the Baal Bayis made the Hanocha, or the Baal Bayis gives him an object, makes the Akira, and the Ani takes it into the Rishus HaRabim, the Ani makes the Hanocha, both are Potter, since no one person made both of the Akira and the Hanocha. But both are over on an Isser Midrabanan. The Gemara. If a person becomes Tomei forgets he is Tameh and accidentally eats food, which is Kadesh, and then he remembered he was Tameh, so he's chayav to bring a karban oila v'yered. In that case, the Gemara in Shavuos calls it Shtayim Shehen Arba, two primary cases in the Pasuk, which are really four cases. What are the avais of Haitzah? Gemara says, Haitzah mirishus hayachid, lirishus harabim. Also, Hachnasa mirishus harabim, lirishus hayachid, bringing it in. And this case is included in the Yetzias HaShabbos at the beginning of the Mishnah. Daf Gimel. Shmuel says, the general rule of Hilcha Shabbos is that when we say potter, we mean potter aval osser lechatchila. Except in three cases where we say potter umutter. Number one, tzeda, if a deer was already trapped. Number two, trapping a snake for self-defense. And number three, mapis mursa, popping of a pimple to drain the pus. Taisus here asks, how about pikuach nefesh? This is also potter umutter. Taisus answers, for sakanas nefashas, it's pashit, that you can be over on a malacha of Shabbos, so it's not necessary to state it here. Mar also says, but if a maisa wasn't done, like for example in our Mishnah, then there's potentially more than three cases. If someone put food on his friend's back in a Rishus HaYachid, and the friend then walked into a Rishus HaRabim, is this called an Akira or not? Rab says it's not, so he isn't Chayef, because Akiras Yad Lav Ka'akiras Chayfetz. Finally, if a person is in a Rishus HaRabim, but his hand is in a Rishus HaYachid, we consider his hand to be in a different Rishus versus his body. And it's a machlokes if a Yad is like a Karmelis or not. A Karmelis, as we mentioned, is neither a Rishus HaYachid or a Rishus HaRabim, but midrabbanan it's also to carry into it from a Rishus HaYachid or from a Rishus HaRabim. Others say, the machlokes is if a Yad is like a Makom Ptur or not. A Makom Ptur is also like neither. That's all. In the times of the Gemara, baking bread involved attaching the dough to the walls of the oven. The process of removing the bread from the walls of the oven was called redias hapas, and midrabbanan this was usher to do on Shabbos. But if someone put bread inside this oven on Shabbos, is it mutter for him to remove it before the baking takes place? I.e., do we allow him to be over on a shvus? A shvus means an isser midrabbanan, so that he won't be over on an isser midaraisa. The Gemara answers that he is allowed. However, it's usur for someone else to be over on this Isser Rabbanan of Rudias HaPas to prevent his friend from the Isser Midaraisa, since we say, Ein Oimrim La'odam Chate, Bishvil Sheyiska Chaverecha. It's not right to say to a person, be over even on Isser Rabbanan, so his friend will not be over on anything at all. Taisus brings a number of exceptions to this rule of Ein Oimrim La'odam Chate. For example, if it's a mitzvah Rabbah, a very big mitzvah, for example, the mitzvah of Piriyah V'Rivya, or mitzvah Derabim, so that a small violation is mutter for the sake of preventing the rabbim from violating a serious avera, or if the violator of the serious avera is not at fault, then others are permitted to commit a minor sin to spare him from a shaygig of a major avera. The Gemara says Akira and Hanocha are only considered valid if the item was taken from an area that was dala al dala tvachim. If not, a person is not over on the Isser deraisa, but Rabbi Akiva holds you don't need dala al dala. As we learn, if someone throws something from one Rishus HaYachid to a different Rishus HaYachid, and in between is a Rishus HaRabim, for example, he throws it across the street, Rabbi Akiva says he's chayev. Since Rabbi Akiva holds, kluta kemi shehun chadami. When something is in the airspace of a Rishus HaRabim, we consider it as if it stopped and rested there. Therefore, there was an Akira in Rishus HaYachid, and a Hanacha now in Rishus HaRabim, so he's chayev. And this chayev is even though the Hanacha isn't dalad al dalad. The Rabbanan hold potter, since we don't say kluta kemi shehuncha dami. This machlaikas of kluta is only if the item is below 10 tvachim over the Rishus HaRabim. But if it's thrown from roof to roof, we are dealing with a space which is higher than 10 tvachim, all say that he's potter, and we do not say kluta kemi shehuncha dami. Others hold, even more than 10 tvachim, there is a machlaikas. Finally, if someone throws an item a distance of dalet amas per Rishus HaRabim, and then it landed on an item which is less than dalet al dalet, then it's a machlokes if he's chayev or not. Dafei. If a Rishus HaRabim is covered up, this is not called a full-scale Rishus HaRabim, since in the midbar it wasn't covered up. So if someone carries from Rishus HaYachid to this covered Rishus, he's potter. If someone is makabel an item when his hand is within three tvachim of the ground, then we say lavud. It's like the hanacha was on the ground. Lavud basically means that it's like it's connected to the ground. It's so close, it's within three tvachim, that it's as if it's connected. This halacha is very nageya, as we're going to learn in Hilchas Erevin, as well as Hilchas Sukkah, or something which comes close to something else, is considered as connected to the something else if it's within the distance of three tvachim. Therefore here, since the ground is more than dalet al dalet, it's a valid hanacha, and he is chayef. But Rabbi Yochanan says a person's hand is always called dalet al dalet, therefore it's called a valid hanacha. If someone was sitting on a high ledge, for example, more than three tvachim above the ground, therefore it's called a karmelis, and he was reading a scroll, and one end of the scroll rolled into Rushas HaRabim, he can pull it back, since a karmelis to Rushas HaRabim is only an Issa Min Rabbanan. But if he was in Rushas HaYachid, and he rolled it into Rushas HaRabim, then it's Usur to take it, since this will now be called Haitzah. Abaya says, when a person is carrying something, and he stops, it's only called a valid Hanacha if he stops for the purpose of resting, Lafush. But if he stops just to adjust his load, Lechatef, in other words, to adjust the load on his back, that's not called a Hanacha. Kuntras Aladaf says, conversely, Lechumra, if an individual carries an object 2 amas in a Rishas HaRabim, and he stops before carrying it another 2 amas, then he's Pater, because he did not carry it 4 amas in one action. However, if he merely stopped Lechatef to adjust the package, then he's Chayef, because it's considered as one continuous 4 amas walk. This halacha has ramifications with regard to one who mistakenly carries something from a Rishas HaYachid into the Rishas HaRabim on Shabbos. One who realizes that he is carrying an object with him should not impulsively drop the item and make a hanacha in the Rishas HaRabim, but rather he should carry the item without stopping back into the Rishas HaYachid. By doing this, one avoids the Isra of Haitzah, since no hanacha was performed in the Rishas HaRabim. However, this recommendation is only appropriate if one has not yet stopped in the Rishas HaRabim. If one is standing still in the Rishas HaRabim when he realizes that he is carrying something, the item should be set down at the place where he is standing. Carrying it back to Rishas HaYachid would constitute a new act of Haitzah. According to Abaya, there is an exception to this latter halacha. If one merely stopped to adjust his load, then it's not considered a hanacha, and he should continue walking back with the item back to the Rishas HaYachid. Finally, if someone takes something from a Rishas HaYachid to a Rishas HaRabim via a Karmelis, he's Chayef, then Isaiah says he's Pater, since it's like there was a Hanacha in the Karmelis. Dafav. Regarding Dinei Haitzah on Shabbos, there are 4 different Rishuyas. Number 1, a Rishas HaYachid, a private domain. Number 2, a Rishas HaRabim, a public domain. Number 3, a Karmelis, which is an in-between area, not the Rishas HaYachid or Rishas HaRabim. And number 4, a Makam Ptur, sort of a no-man's land. A Rishas HaYachid, for example, is a ditch which is 10 tvachim deep. A Rishas HaRabim is a sratya, a highway or a road, or a platya, a marketplace or public square. By the way, the word that we use as plaza, which is a large public area, comes from this word platya. Another example of Rishas HaRabim is a mavoi hamafulash, an alleyway with walls on the side but open at both ends. So in all these cases, one cannot carry from the Rishas HaRabim to the Rishas HaYachid, or vice versa. If a person does carry b'mezit, then he's chayav misa. If b'shaygig, it's a karban chatas. A sea, valley, or storefronts, these are considered karmelis, because they're neither Rishas HaYachid or Rishas HaRabim. And to carry from a karmelis to Rishas HaYachid or Rishas HaRabim, or from a Rishas HaRabim or Rishas HaYachid to a karmelis, this is asur mirabanan. If a person does carry between a karmelis and one of these, he's pater. The Gemara says that a chatzer, belonging to many homes, or an alleyway with walls on 3 sides, in other words, it's not mefulash, carrying from a private house to this chatzer is considered to be like haitzah, is osur midrabanan, and in order to carry, one must build what we call an eruv chatzeris. When we say that we put up an eruv, what we're really referring to is a tzuras hapesach, which is a door frame form. In the same way, a door frame is constructed from 2 doorposts, which are called mezuzos, as well as a lintel, a horizontal beam on top of it, which is called a mashkaif. A similar structure composed of 2 vertical posts, known as kanes or lechis, topped by a 3rd horizontal post, or even a wire or a cord, which is directly and exactly above the side post, that looks like a door, a tzuras hapesach. And even if this tzuras hapesach is on all 4 sides of an area, the area is considered to be enclosed by 4 partitions. Therefore, it's as if you have a tzuras hapesach, sort of a door on all 4 sides, and this is what we refer to when we say we're building an eruv. It's something which surrounds the entire area by doors, so to say. Now, al pi halacha, an eruv is only mutter for carrying if a person is carrying in a karmelis or a Rishas HaYachid. but it does not permit carrying in something which is considered a Rishus HaRabim midaraisa. Kuntras Aladaf brings the Gemara, which learns from the Bnei Yisrael's encampment in the Midbar, that a street must be at least 16 amos wide to be considered a Rishus HaRabim. A street which is less than 16 amos wide, or a valley, is considered to be a Karmelis. A Karmelis, as we mentioned, neither a Rishus HaRabim or Rishus HaYachid, and one who carries from it to a Rishus HaYachid or to a Rishus HaRabim is not subject to the Isser, Midaraisa. Of course, Midarabanan, it's Asser. Taisus de Reamaschil Khan, on Dav Vavam and Beis, asserts that a street is not classified as a Rishus HaRabim, Minatera, unless it is used by 600,000 people, because the criteria for Rishus HaRabim is derived from Bnei Yisrael's encampment in the Midbar. Since the Torah states that there were 600,000 people encamped in the Midbar, only a street used by that number of people is considered to be a Rishus HaRabim. The Ramban and Erevin, Dafnun and Tesamid Beis, disagrees and maintains that there is no such requirement. A practical ramification of this machlokes is whether constructing an Erev, as we mentioned, the Tzuras HaPesach, around a neighborhood which has wide streets but a population of less than 600,000 people, is sufficient to permit carrying. The halacha is that an Erev, as we mentioned, is only sufficient if carrying in a Karmelis, but it doesn't permit carrying in a bona fide Rishus HaRabim midaraisa. According to Taisus, a city with a population of less than 600,000 people is not a Rishus HaRabim, and hence carrying is mutter if the Erev is constructed, which is the Erev that we say we have in cities. However, according to the Ramban, if the neighborhood has streets that are 16 amos wide, it is classified as a Rishus HaRabim in a Taira, and surrounding it with an Erev is considered not good. So according to the Ramban, an Erev in that situation would not be considered an Erev that one could carry within. And the question of 600,000 people is a major machlekes achrenim, whether we're talking about it has to be 600,000 people at any one time or 600,000 people at any time. And just reading here in a sefer called Erevin in Modern Metropolitan Areas, written by Yosef Gavriel Bechhofer, the Rosh Kailol of Beis Medrash L'Torah in Skokie, Illinois, he brings the Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim Simon Shin Mem Hei Siv Zayin, who says that some say that any street which is not traversed by 600,000 people every day is not a Rishus HaRabim. But the Mishneh Berurah, in Sivkot Chaf Aleph there, says that I searched through all Rishayim who maintain this opinion, that 600,000 people is not necessarily all the time to establish a Rishus HaRabim, and did not find this criteria mentioned anywhere in their writings. Rather, only a criteria that 600,000 people can be found occasionally in that place. The aforementioned shitas are not meant in any way to paskin on Hilchas Erevin, but rather just to give you a flavor for the multitude of shitas on the very controversial shaila of Hilchas Erevin in major metropolitan areas alluded to here on Daf Vav. If you want to read some interesting tshuvas on the question of Erevin in metropolitan areas, see Igris Maisha, Orach Chaim Chelek Aleph, Simen Kuf Lamed Ches, where a Maisha, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, assered an Erev in Brooklyn, Simen Kuf Lamed Tes, where he assered an Erev in Manhattan, and Igris Maisha, Orach Chaim Chelek Dalad, Simen Peivav, where he was Matir, an Erev in Kew Garden Hills, Queens, New York. The Gemara says, if someone has two houses, one on one side of a Rosh Hashanah, one on the other, so he has two walls facing each other, he should add two lechis, one on each side, vertical posts, or a kaira, or a horizontal wire, or a beam. And then he can carry in the middle. Finally, if all 39 melachas are done, behelamachas, in one period of unawareness, then he's chayav a karban chatas for each, i.e. a total of 39 karbanas. Daf Zayin. Ula said if a large area is fenced in, it has the name of Rishus HaYachid. And even if it's a valley, which looks like a public area, but if it's closed in, then it's called a Rishus HaYachid. For example, a karpaf sheyoyser mibei sasayim, a lot which is larger than two sasayim, and it is shalai hukaf ledira, meaning that it is closed in, but not for living purposes, it's still called a mechitza, and if one throws an item from a Rishus HaRabim to this karpaf, which is called a Rishus HaYachid, then he's chayev midrabanan. The Gemara says in the public squares of the cities, there were columns where storekeepers would set up booths of merchandise. And even though this was a public area where many people went, it was still called a karmelis, since there isn't full freedom of movement, i.e. because of the columns. Although normally, if something is less than 3 tuachim tall, it has a din of a Rishus HaRabim, but higi and hizmi, thorns and manure, even though they're less than 3 tuachim, are not a Rishus HaRabim, since people are afraid of being pricked, so they don't walk on it. Chia Barav says, even these are considered to be Rishus HaRabims, since some people would walk on it. Therefore, if one carries on it, he's chayiv. Rabbi Yochanan says, to be called a karmelis, an area must be at least 4x4 tefachim. If it's less than that, it's called a makam p'tur. And one can carry from a rishus hayachid to a makam p'tur, or from a rishus harabim to a makam p'tur. Of course, it's also from a rishus hayachid to a rishus harabim to a makam p'tur. The Gemara says a rishus harabim only applies to an area under 10 tefachim. Above 10 tefachim, it's called a makam p'tur. A rishus hayachid, however, applies even to an area which is more than 10 tefachim. In fact, we say rishus hayachid oila ad l'rakia. It actually goes until heaven, anything within that area. Reb Chiya said, if someone threw something in a rishus harabim above 10 tefachim, and it landed in a small hole, Rameir says, chaykagin lahashlim. If this area has room to dig up a hole of 4x4 tefachim, then it's like we dug the hole of 4x4, and now it's called a rishus hayachid. The Rabbanan say we hold ein chaykagin lahashlim. Davches. Abaye said if one throws a wicker basket from a rishus hayachid to a rishus harabim, if it's less than 6 tefachim wide, it's called a chayfetz, and he's chayev, since he made an akira in rishus hayachid and a hanacha in rishus harabim. But if it's more than 6 tefachim wide, it becomes its own rishus, and he's potter. And less than 6 tefachim constitute a rishus, since that means the length times the width must be at least 4x4 tefachim. We know that 4 tefachim length times 4 tefachim of width is equal diagonally to 5¾ tefachim, i.e. just under the 6 tefachim that we're referring to here. It's also referred to as a hypotenuse, the third side of a right-angled triangle. Rava said, even if it isn't 6 tefachim, one is pater, since some of the reeds of the basket rest above the rishus harabim. Ula said, if someone throws an item to rishus harabim, and it lands on a beam which is 9 tefachim high, then he is chayiv, even though the beam is more than 3 tefachim tall. This is considered to be part of the rishus harabim, since up to 3 tefachim, people walk on it. From 3 to 9, it's too high to walk on, so it's called a karmelis. But if it's 9 tefachim high, people use it to adjust their burden on. In other words, they can hang something on it. And Rabbi Yosef says, this same halacha applies to a pit 9 tefachim deep, since some people use it for storage. Rava argues and says a pit of 9 tefachim is not called a rishus harabim. The Gemara says if someone wants to walk more than 2,000 amas from a city on Shabbos, he must make an Erev Tumen. He does this by placing bread outside the city at the appropriate place, which now becomes his Makam Shvisa, i.e. his home base, and he can now carry 2,000 amas from this new Makam Shvisa. But he must be able to get to this bread and carry it up to 4 amas in a rishus harabim in order to eat it. So if he placed it in a pit within 10 tefachim of the ground, the Erev is good. More than 10 tefachim deep, the Erev is no good, since he can't get to it. This is considered now like a rishus hayachid, and now he's in a rishus harabim, so he won't be able to move it from one to the other. We mentioned before about carrying it up to 4 amas in rishus harabim. From here, the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch hold that it's mutter to carry in a rishus harabim a distance of less than 4 amas on Shabbos. Finally, if someone picks up a bundle of cane on one end and tips it over and over again in order to move it or sort of to roll it in a rishus harabim, and he moves it more than dalet amas, he's putter, since he never really was oiker it completely. Daftes. In a skufa, the stoop of a door can serve two different purposes. When the door is open, it serves as part of the rishus hayachid. When the door is closed, the stoop is part of a rishus harabim, since the front of the door is part of a mavoi. And if the door is open, even without a lechi or a kaira, the stoop is still called a rishus hayachid. But others say, to be called a rishus hayachid, you still need a special lechi or a kaira. But if the stoop is very large, 10 tefachim high by 4 wide, then it's called its own rishus hayachid, and you wouldn't be able to carry from the house to the stoop, because it's like carrying from one rishus hayachid to a different rishus hayachid, which is aser. Besachta Shabbos, Daf Tes, the Mishnah. If it's close to the time of Tfilas Mincha, within a half hour of that time, and it's either on Erev Shabbos or during the week, one should not sit by a barber to take a haircut, go to the bathhouse, or sit down to eat, since we're afraid that he will miss Mincha. But if he already began the activity, for example, he began taking a haircut, then he doesn't have to stop in the middle to daven. Also, the Mishnah says, one must stop when the Zman Kriyashma comes around, because it's Midaraisa, but he doesn't have to stop if the Zman Tfila comes around, because Tfila is only Midarabanan. Gemara. Samach leMincha means Mincha Ketana, the last 1¼ hours before Shkia, not Mincha Gedela, which is a half hour after Chatzais, since even if a person misses this time, he still has the whole afternoon to daven Mincha. Dafyut. From the Pasuk in Amos, Perek Dalad, Hachain Likras Alekecha Yisrael, prepare to greet Hashem, we learn that someone needs to dress properly and therefore should wear a belt or a gartel when he davens. And the Gemara says that different Amoraim used to do different things before davening in order to prepare themselves properly for tefillah. Rab Chisda and Rabba Bar Rab Huna used to sit all day and judge cases on a Beis Din without eating, and they used to feel faint. And they were told not to do this all day, since they weren't mechuyev to put that much time into it. But any dayan who takes his job seriously, dayan emes lamitay, becomes a shutef with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says the fourth hour of the day is the mealtime for most people. The fifth hour is for workers, and the sixth hour is for that of a Talmud Chacham. The Gemara says the outer chamber of a Beis HaMerchatz, this is the area where people come into the Beis HaMerchatz dressed, that can be used for tefillah, because people are dressed. The inner chamber, where people are dressed and some people are undressed, you can give shalom, but you cannot daven or say kriyishma. And the room itself, where the bath actually is, that's where all people are undressed, or in a bathroom for that matter, you can't even say shalom aleichem to your friend. The Ritva says, in the name of Taisus, that even though it's usher to say shalom in a bathhouse, it does not have the kedusha of an actual name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with regard to writing or erasing it. The Taz in Arachayim, at the end of Simen Pei Dalet, allows addressing one's friend with his name shalom in a bathhouse, since the word is not being used in the context of Hashem's name. And in fact, the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Vav writes that the halacha follows this kula of the Taz. A new bathhouse, never used, could be used to say shalom, since Ravina held hazman alav milsa. Just designating a place means nothing until it's actually used as a specific room for bathing. Shalom aleichem is also to say in a bathroom, since shalom is one of the names of Hashem. If someone wants to give a gift to his friend, he should first tell him, otherwise his friend may be embarrassed. As we see regarding Shabbos, where Hashem told Klal Yisrael first about the gift of Shabbos before he gave it to us, Ki ani Hashem mikadishchem. And if one gives food to a child, he must first inform the child's mother. Finally, a person should not treat one child more favorably than a different child of his own. Because of the fact that we see how Yaakov treated Yosef more favorably, the other brothers became jealous, and many bad things came from that. Daf Yod Aleph. The worst kind of sickness is one of the intestines. The worst kind of pain is that of the heart. The worst temporary pain is that of the head. And the worst kind of evil is an evil woman. Chaverim, those who are learning Torah, only have to stop their learning to recite Kriyishma, not Tefillah. But Rabbi Yochanan qualifies this, and says that only people like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and his Chabura are potter from Tefillah, since they are Tairasan Umnasan. Their learning of Torah is their full-time occupation. But we are not on that Madrega, so we must be Mafsik for Kriyishma and for Tefillah. And in fact, the Tur in Simen Kufvav writes that today everyone is Mechuyev to interrupt their learning of Torah in order to daven, because no one today is on that lofty level of Tairasai Umnasai. The Mishnah. A tailor cannot go out just before Shabbos with his needle, since he may forget when Shabbos begins, and he'll be over on the malacha of Haitzah. A scribe cannot go out with his quill pen either, same logic. It's also for a person to check his clothes or read with a candle on Shabbos, since he may tip the candle to get more light, and he'll be over on the malacha of Havara. And a husband and wife, if one is a Zav or a Zava, they should not have a meal together on the same table, since this could lead to relations at a time that relations are osur. The Gemara. A person should not sit in Rishus HaYachid and drink from a cup in Rishus HaRabim, since he may draw the cup from one Rishus to the other and be over on Haitzah. A Zav, who goes out with a special pouch to catch his emissions of Ziva, is Pater, but this is osur to do L'chatchila. Reb Zera said that if someone wears a beged to protect his clothing from bodily emissions, atzulei tinuf, that's not called chashev, and he's not chayev for haitzah, because this is not derech haitzah. And this halacha is learned from Hilchas Tumah. We know that in order for a food to be capable of becoming tame, it must have first been touched by one of the seven types of liquid, yad shachat dam, and touched with the kavana of the Baal HaBayis. If this occurs, the food is now mukhshar lekabel tumah. It's prepared to be in a position to become tame. So if someone puts a bowl next to a wall in order to wash the plate, then it can potentially transmit tuma when it's touched by liquid. But if it was just put there to protect the wall, it doesn't create an environment for tuma, since this is not chashev. The same would apply to the case of a zav. Daf Yud Beis. Really, all these cases of zav are based on the machlekes regarding malacha she'enet tzricha legufa. Malacha she'enet tzricha legufa is a malacha that isn't done for its defined purpose, as defined in the Torah. This is how Rashi interprets it. Rabbi Yehuda holds, Malacha she'en etzricha legufa is chayef, i.e. a malacha done for any constructive purpose, even if it's not done for the purpose, which is it's what it's defined in the Torah, you're still chayef. Therefore, even though you don't need the ziva, the malacha was still done. Therefore, you're chayef. Masha'enkin, according to Reb Shimon, who says malacha she'en etzricha legufa is pater, you'd be patir. You'd be pater in this case, since one is only chayev for a malacha done to achieve the originally defined purpose min haTorah. And here that's not the case. Chananya said, chayev adam lamashmesh bivagadav erev Shabbos im chatshecha. A person should check the pockets of his clothing before Shabbos to be sure that he's not carrying. And the Mishnah Berurah adds in Simen Reish Nun Beis, Sifkat Nun Vav, that not only does a person have to check his pockets before Shabbos, but if a person normally puts things in his pocket on Shabbos, he's mechuyev to check his pockets every time he leaves his house. The Gemara says one should not rid his clothes of lice or vomit in Rishus HaRabim, since it's not bekavadik for people who might see him. Others disagreed with this halacha. Beis Shammai says you cannot comfort avelim or visit the sick on Shabbos, since it can make you sad. Beis Hillel says these are mutter, since the pasuk says mimtzei cheftzecha v'daber davar. Only your affairs are usur on Shabbos, but chefzei shamayim, for example, mitzvahs like visiting someone who's sick, those are mutter on Shabbos. If one visits a chayla on Shabbos, he should say, Shabbos hi mi lizoik, urefua kreiva lovai. It's Shabbos, so it's usur to be mispal for a chayla on Shabbos, but a refua will come soon. And he should also add, ha-mokim yirachem alecha b'soich chayla Yisrael. This, but by saying it, in the zchus of all of chayla Yisrael, it's the zchus hatzibur. A person should not ask for its trachis from Hashem in Lashon Aramis, because malachim do not understand it. But for a chayla it's okay, since the Shechina rests next to the chayla, and the services of the malachim are not needed. Daf Yud Gimel. Reb Shimon ben Elazar says, come and see how widespread the observance of Tahara is with Klal Yisrael, that even when both are tamei, he's a zav and she's a zava, they still don't eat at the same table. Beis Shammai says the isser of basar b'cholav only applies to real basar, not basar oif. Basar oif is like chicken, for example. And that's only asar min rabbanan for one not to eat it together with milk. Therefore, there is no gezeira not allowing them to be on the same table. Beis Hillel says, it's also usur to have them on the same table, unless there are two people who don't know each other. Then one can eat basar, and one can eat cheese, even at the same table. There was a woman who lost her husband when he was young, and although he was a Talmud Chacham, he lived with her in a wide bed when she was a Nida. But this, of course, is usur, even if there is no touching, since the Pasuk says in Vayikra Yidches, V'yal isha benidas tumasa leisikrav. The next Mishnah. In the attic of Chananya ben Chizkia, they were geyser the Yud Ches Davar, 18 special halachas, which were paskined based on the majority of the Talmidim, who were primarily the Talmidim of Beis Shammai. Gemara. The Megillas Tainis was a list of days which are not allowed to be used as Tanesim. And this was written, this list of days was written by Chananya ben Chizkia and his group. Before we begin the Sugya of Yud Ches Davar, we should begin with a bit of an introduction. Most of the sugya of Yud Ches Davar will deal with inyanei tuma v'tahara. Midaraisa, we have the highest level of tuma, which is called avi avos hatuma. This is tumas meis, a dead body. A nevela, which is a behema or a chaya, which died without proper shechita, or a sheretz, a creepy creature, which died. These are not avi avos hatuma, but these are what we refer to as av hatuma, which is a level slightly below avi avos hatuma. And if a person emits certain liquids, he himself or she herself also become an avatuma. For example, a balkari, a zav, a zava, a nida, or yaladis. These, as we mentioned, are all cases where there are sources of tuma, where tuma begins at these places. Items which can contract tuma from other items include, for example, kalim, a metal keli, a kli matches, or a kli cheres, earthenware, which can only be mekabel tuma, by the way, as we'll learn, ba'avira, in the air, not actually when it touches it, begadim, clothing, or adam, a person. Min hatayra, adam v'kelim can only be mekabel tuma from an av hatuma or an avi avos hatuma. They have to touch something which is dead, but they cannot be mekabel tuma from eichlin u'mashkin, from food or drink, because eichlin u'mashkin, when they contract tuma, only become a rishon l'tuma. However, eichlin u'mashkin can be mekabel tuma from a rishon l'tuma. Food or drink, which is what we refer to as chulin, can only go as far as a shein l'tuma, no further. So food, which is a shein l'tuma, cannot make more food, which it now touches, a shlish l'tuma. Truma, on the other hand, can go as far as a shlish l'tuma. So if a food, which is a shein l'tumah, touches truma, the truma becomes a shlishi, and the special term used for truma, which becomes a shlishi, or truma, which becomes no good, is called pasal. But truma can only go as far as a shlishi l'tumah. Kachim, food which is hukdash, can go even beyond a shlishi and become a revi'i l'tumah. So if something which is a shlishi, truma, which is pasal, for example, touches kachim, the kachim can become a revi'i. So just to review, a mace is called an aviyavaisa tumah. A nevela or a dead sheretz is called an avatumah. These objects can now, if they touch other items, transmit tumah to these items. But midaraisa, there are limitations. Adam v'kelim can only go as far as a rishon l'tumah. So once they're makabel tumah from an av, and they become a rishon, they cannot transmit tumah to additional adam v'kelim, or begadim for that matter. Eichlun u'mashkin, which are called chulin, can only go as far as a shein l'tumah. Truma can only go as far as a shlishi, when they become pasul, and kachim can only go as far as a revi. Said another way, fourth generation tuma, i.e. revi, can only happen to kachim. Since these inyanei tuma are mentioned many times in Shas, if you want an easy acronym to remember these basic halachas, remember the four-letter word aleph, ches, tof, kuf, achtak. The aleph, which is the first letter of these four letters, stands for adam v'kelim, the aleph. To tell you that Adam v'kelim can only go as far as the first letter, i.e. as far as a rishon l'tumah, but no further. The ches, the second letter, stands for chulin, food and drink. They can only go as far as the second letter, i.e. as a sheni. The tav is for truma, which can go as far as a shlishi, the third letter. And the kuf, which is the fourth letter, is kachim, can only go as far as a revi'i, l'tumah. In addition to these tumais midaraisa, the upcoming sugya will discuss numerous gzeiros midrabanan regarding tumah. There are 18 of these gzeiros, which are referred to as the Yud Ches Davar. The first is a group of 9 items, which if they touch truma, they make it into a shlishi l'tumah, as we mentioned before, which is called truma pasal. For example, if someone eats food or drinks liquid, which is tamei rishon, he becomes a sheni, and the truma he touches becomes a shlishi, i.e. it becomes pasal, so it can't go farther than a shlishi. This entire case is only a tumah midrabanan. Since midaraisa, a person can only go as far as a rishon l'tumah. A person cannot become a sheni. In this case, however, we say Adam can become a sheni midrabanan, and therefore has the kayach to make truma a shlishi. Daf yodalef. If someone eats food, which is a rishon or a sheni, why would the rabbanan geyser that a person can still become tamei? Our answer, since we're afraid, while he's eating food, which is tamei, he'll also take a drink of a truma beverage, with both of them in his mouth at the same time, the food will cause the truma to become pasal. So to prevent this from happening, the rabbanan will geyser that if someone eats tamei food, he cannot touch any truma. Water, which was drawn with a keli, is referred to as mayim she'uvim, and this pasals a mikveh if the mikveh had less than 40 saw, and the amount of mayim she'uvim is at least gimelugin. If someone after tefillah put roishay v'rubay into mayim she'uvim, the chachamim made a gzera of tuma, and if he touches truma, we say it becomes a shlishi, and it's pasal. In addition, unwashed hands which touch truma, referred to as yadayim, pasal truma, since hands are active, and they may touch an uncovered part of the body and become tamei. Rabbi Parnach said, someone who takes hold of a bare Sefer Torah will be without schar mitzvah. The Gemara says, food, which is a shein l'tumah, which became tamei via liquid as a rishon, can also pasal truma. And in fact, kelim, which became tamei through liquid, can also pasal truma midrabanan. But even though adam v'kelim cannot normally become a shein l'tumah midaraisa, but the rabbanan made a special gzera, otu this fact, otu the liquid of a zav. Yosi ben Yoezer ish Treda and Yosi ben Yochanan ish Yerushalayim were geyser tuma on chutzlaretz and on glass zechuches dishes, that they can also be makabel tuma midarabanan. Really midaraisa, we know from Parshas Matais that metal kelim can be makabel tuma, for example kesev, zohav, barzel, and so on. And in Parshas Shmini we learn that wood, begadim, and hides can also be makabel tuma. Glass, however, zechuches, is not mentioned at all in the Torah. So the fact that glass can become tamei is only a gzeira midrabanan. Shimon ben Shetach was mesaken that by a ksuba, a woman can collect not only from cash, but from his property as well, in order to give the person pause so he won't divorce her so fast, because it's very difficult to sell land. Finally, when Shlomo HaMelech was mesaken the gzeira of Erev Chatzeres to keep people from the Isra of Haitza, and he was mesaken Netilas Yadayim to prevent tuma, a baskal came out from Shemayim and said, when your heart is wise, I will be happy as well. We know that mayim she'uvim, water which was drawn from a keli, if a lot of it falls into a mikveh, which has less than 40 saw of water, the amount needed for a kashrut mikveh, then the entire mikveh becomes pasul. How much mayim she'uvim must fall into this mikveh in order to pasul? Hillel says, miloy hin, one hin, which is equivalent to 3 kavan. Shammai says, 9 kavan. And Hillel used the term hin, since he was quoting his rabbeim, Shmayev Avtayim. And the rule is, chayev adam leimar b'loshin rabbi. A person is supposed to quote it from the name in the name of his rabbeim. And 2 weavers came and testified that Shmayev Avtayim, paskin, that the shear of mayim she'uvim needed to pasul a mikveh, is gimel lugin, which is 1/4 of a hin. An additional machlekes between Hillel and Shammai is by a case of if a woman sees dam, she becomes a nida even before the dam actually leaves her body, i.e. as soon as it flows from the makor, she becomes tameh. Shammai says, we hold dayan shaitan. We're not chayshish for this, and any kadshim she touched for the few hours before she saw dam remain tahar. Hillel says, mi pekida le pekida. We're machmer, and we're chayshish that she could have become a nida all the way back to the time that she made her last bedika, i.e. even though her last bedika was okay, but maybe just after that bedika she became tameh and didn't know that she was tameh, so all the kachim and the truma that she touched since then, even if it was 10 days ago, would become tameh. The Chacham say we don't paskin like this either, but rather we do a compromise, and we say that we're chayshish for the shorter of a me'es le'es, the last 24 hours, or her last bedika if it was less than 24 hours ago. The Gemara says 180 years before the Churban Beis HaMikdash, Rome began to take over Eretz Yisrael. 80 years before the Churban, they made a gzera on Tumas Chutzlaretz and on glass dishes. 40 years before the Sanhedrin left the Lishkas Hagazis in the Beis HaMikdash and went to a different place on the Harabayas called the Chanus, it became also for them to paskin on Misa or Knossos. The Gemara says in 6 situations of Safek, we burn Truma. Number 1, Safek Beis HaPras, if we lose the exact spot of a grave in a field, so if Truma came into the field, we burn it, since it's Safek Tumas Ayel. Number 2, Ofer Michutzaretz. It's a suffix if it's from a kever mace. We're not sure where it comes from. So we burn Truma, which it touches. Number 3, Beged Amaretz. If it touches Truma, we burn the Truma, because we're not sure what the situation is with that. Stama Keli, if it touches Truma, we burn the Truma. Spittle, it's a suffix, maybe it came from a Zav, therefore we burn the Truma. And finally, urine, which is also a suffix where it came from. Rabbi Yossi says, even if the suffix is whether it touched Truma at all, if it happened in Rosh Hashayachid, we burn it. Since the rule is, Safik Tumah Birshus Hayachid is Lechomer. This is learned from Saita, which is, of course, in of itself a Safik Birshus Hayachid. The Chachamim say, Birshus Hayachid, it's a Safik, so we don't burn it. But Birshus Harabim, it's completely Tahar. Safik Tumah Birshus Harabim, on the other hand, that's Lekula. And these 6 takanas were made in Usha. The Chachamim were geizer that a Kli Zechuchis of glass can be Mekabal Tumah, since glass is made from sand, which is similar to a Kli Cheres, which is made from dirt. So then, if you're comparing it to Kli Cheres, say, just like Kli Cheretz cannot be put into a mikveh for tefillah, because Rak Shvi Rasan Metah Rasan, only by breaking it become Tahar, say the same thing by glass. Our answer, since generally speaking, glass still needs some metal to hold it together, and since metal can be tabled in a mikveh, so too Zchuchis glass can be tabled in a mikveh. And Rameir holds, HaKol Holech Achar Hamaimit, whatever holds it together, we go after that. And since glass always has a little bit of metal with it, it can be tabled the same way that metal can be tabled. The Gemara says the rule by a Kli Cheres is unique, in that if an item which is Tameh comes into the inner airspace of the Kli Cheres, it makes the Kli Cheres Tameh. No touching is needed. And once it becomes Tameh, anything in the airspace of the Kli Cheres also becomes Tameh, as it's referred to Me'avi Rehen. This also applies to the airspace in the back of its hollowed-out base, for example, the stem of a Kiddush cup. This can become Tameh as well. This is Me'achai Rehen. However, a Kli Cheres cannot be metame migabehem, the general outside of the keli, and there is no tefillah. Rak shvi rasan metah rasan. That's the only way to be metar a kli cheres, is to break it. The din that a kli matches, a metal keli, becomes tame upon contact with tuma is midaraisa, and they need tefillah to become tahar, as we learn from the pasuk in Bamidbar Lamed Aleph, aches hazohav v'yes hakesef, referring to the kli midyan. And there was a maisa with Shaltzi and Hamalka, who wanted to make a wedding for her son, and all the kelim became tamei via tumas meis. And by tumas meis, there was a special halacha of tumi yishana. A tefillah can only take place after 7 days. Another one of the gzeres yud ches davar of Beis Shammai is as follows. We know that mayim she'uvim, water drawn by a keli, pasels a mikvah. Rashi holds it pasels at midaraisa. Tosfos holds it pasels at midarabanan. And it pasels if there's 3 lugin of mayim she'uvim, which are poured into a mikvah before it has 40 sa' of kashura water. But drawn water only has the din of mayim she'uvim if a person has in mind to draw the water with the help of a keli. However, there was no kavana to draw mayim with a keli, and the water running through or into the item is not called mayim shuvim. For example, if a person leaves a keli outside and rain falls into it. If a piece of wood was attached to the ground or to a building, so it isn't yet a keli per se, and only later it was hollowed out into a keli, and at the end of this pipe he puts a bowl to collect water, large or small bowls, it becomes mayim shuvim. But not on account of the pipe, since the pipe isn't really a keli, but on account of the bowl which is left there lamaisa to collect the water. The question is, what if he puts a keli down before the rain with the express intent of collecting rainwater? Then it becomes sunny and it never rained, so he went away. Then only later, the clouds again came around, gathered, and then it started to rain. So being a tirade isn't mayim shuvim, since he had kavana only for the original rain, not for the new rain. But in the Rabbanan, according to Beis Shammai, they made a gzerah that even in this case of Shecheach, we say that the water is called Mayim Shuvim. Beis Hill does not make such a gzerah. Rabbi Meir says a vote was taken, and the words of Beis Shammai prevailed in this case of Shecheach Otu Meniach, so this became one of the Yud Ches Davar. An additional of the Yud Ches Davar was made that any girl who is a kusi is considered to be a nida automatically, since kusim could not be trusted regarding tefillah, especially by ketanim. An additional gzerah, we know that if there is a mace on the ground, which is an aviyah b'isatuma, any people or kalim suspended above this mace become an afatuma, al tumas ayel. To become tahar, we must wait 7 days, and then it must be sprinkled with the offer of the para aduma. If a person then touches this afatuma, they only become a rishon atuma, and a rishon only needs tefillah in a mikvah. They don't need the efer para aduma, and they don't need to wait 7 days. Also, if someone is under the same roof as a mace, which is called the ayel hamace, he automatically becomes an afatuma, and then need 7 days and offer para aduma. Min ha-Torah, to be called ayel hameis, the roof must have the width of at least one tefach. If not, it isn't an ayel, and other the kalim under it with the mace are not tameh. However, the Chachamim made a gzerah that even if it isn't a tefach thick, but just oyve hamartzeah, a thin rad, it's possible that it can still create tuma if the perimeter of the roof is at least a tefach. Rabbi Tarfon disagreed with this gzerah, and was so disturbed by the gzera that he gave himself a klala just for hearing it. I shall bury my children, he said. Daf Yud Zayin. The Sfasemes asks, how was Reb Tarfon allowed to give himself a klala? We know from the Masech to Shavuos that one is not allowed to give anyone a klala. In fact, this Isser is brought in Shulchan Aruch HaShem Mishpat Simen Chav Zayin. So how did he do that? The Sfasemes gives no answer, but Tosfos here says that Reb Tarfon really wasn't giving a klala, but rather just making a shavua. An additional gzera that we learn, we know that for a food to become mukshar lekabel tuma, capable of contracting tuma, it must first have been touched by one of 7 specific liquids, yad, shachat, dam. Yad is yayin, then we have dvash, shemen, cholav, tal, dam, or mayim. If someone is boitzer legas, he's harvesting grapes for the wine press, and some of their juice, which is now one of the 7 liquids, comes out of them and sits on the outside of the grape, normally, since the owner does not want this liquid on the grapes, they shouldn't be mukshar lekabel tuma. Nevertheless, Beis Shammai was geyser that they are mukshar lekabel tuma. Beis Hillel was mekel, and they voted in favor of the chumrah of Beis Shammai. Another gzeira of Yud Ches Davar, if someone plants truma into the ground, what grows from that plant is also called truma. Reb Chanina says the logic of this gzeira is to prevent people who don't want to give truma to a kohen from simply planting it instead. Aibat achiv of truma is only chita achas, so why would someone want to be over this aver for such a little bit? So a different svara was given, to prevent a kayan who has truma tmeya from planting it. And while he waits for the planting season, he may eat it by accident. An additional gzera is if someone was traveling on Erev Shabbos, and Shkia is approaching, and they were carrying their wallets, although normally Amir La'akam is asur, but here it's mutter, to tell a guy to watch it for him, or even bring it to his house for him, since without this, many people would be over on Haitzah. They would be too tempted as so to not lose their money. An additional gzera of Yud Ches Davar was the isser of not eating bread, oil, and wine of Goyim, and not being miyached with the daughters of Goyim either. These were all asr to prevent us from socializing with the Goyim, which could in turn lead to intermarriage. As a side note, by the way, on bread, this isser of pas baked by a Goy only applies to pas akum baked in a private bakery of a Goy. But pas palter, bread baked in a commercial bakery of a guy, as long as we know all the ingredients are kosher and there's a hechsher, this gzera of pasakum did not apply and is therefore mutter. The Rama in Yoredeya Simen Kufyad Beis Sif Aleph says, though it's mutter to eat paspalter during the year, it's good to be machmer not to eat paspalter during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. An additional gzera, that a child who is a guy has the automatic halacha of a zav, even without a ra'iyah, And this is to avoid Mishkav Zachar. The Mishnah. Beis Shammai says one must not soak raw materials for ink, dye, or fodder for animals unless they can become fully soaked before Shabbos begins. Since Beis Shammai holds there is an Isser of Shvisas Kalim on Shabbos, i.e., if it's also for him to do Malacha on Shabbos, it's also for his Kalim to do it on Shabbos. So these cases of Malacha would be, for example, Lush, Nidig, which if not soaked properly before Shabbos, the Kalim would be doing this Malacha on Shabbos. But Beis Hillel disagrees and says that there's no Isser of Shvisas Kalim on Shabbos. Beis Shammai also says one cannot place flax in an oven before Shabbos unless they can become warm before Shabbos. Otherwise, it would be over for Libun because of Shvisas Kalim. Beis Hillel disagrees. Beis Shammai says one cannot set out traps for animals or fish unless they will be caught before Shabbos. Beis Hillel says it's okay to do this, even if it's caught on Shabbos. Beis Shammai says one cannot sell an item to a Nachri or help a Nachri load an animal unless he will arrive at the destination before Shabbos, or it looks like the Nachri is doing the Malacha. Beis Hillel says this is okay. Beis Shammai says one cannot give garments to a guy for laundering unless it can be finished before Shabbos. Beis Hillel says in all these cases it's mutter, as long as you give it before Shabbos. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, our minig was to give clothes to a Nachri 3 days before Shabbos to ensure that no work was done on Shabbos. But all would agree that to put grapes or olives on a press before Shabbos, even if it will ooze out on Shabbos, and here you have the Isra of Mefarik, extraction, which is a toldaf dash, threshing, since only squeezing, lechatchila, is osur on Shabbos. But if the juice is already coming out because it's on the press, and someone presses it so it comes out faster, this is not an incident midaraisa. And in the Mishnah, when Beis Shammai says Shvisas Kalim is osur, that's only regarding Isurim daraisa. But here, since this is not an Isur daraisa, Beis Shammai would agree, but the Isur of Shvisas Kalim would not apply. Daf Yud Ches, the Gemara. Rabbi says if Reuven puts flour in a bowl and Shimon adds water, Shimon is chayav for Lisha, for kneading. Rabbi Yehuda says, we're only chayav for Lisha after you mix the ingredients, not before. The Gemara says one is allowed to connect before Shabbos a canal to his garden, even if his garden will be watered the entire Shabbos. But to start a mill running before Shabbos, that's usser, since it will make noise on Shabbos. The Gemara says a woman is not allowed to put a pot of beans in an oven before Shabbos to cook on Shabbos, and a baker cannot put water in the oven before Shabbos. In both cases, it's usser to do this, because we're afraid shemei chata b'gecholim, he may accidentally stir the coals to expedite the cooking process on Shabbos, and be over on the melacha of bishul. If one does one of these b'di'eved, then on Motzoi Shabbos he must wait the shear of b'chdei sheyaso before getting any hanah from it. He has to wait as much time as it would take for the thing to have cooked after Shabbos, as many minutes as that takes. Finally, Beis Shammai says one cannot sell a guy his chametz before Pesach unless he knows the guy can finish it before Pesach. Beis Hillel is meikel and says that as long as it's mutter to eat chametz, i.e. till the fourth hour on Erev Yontiv, as long as that time is going on, then it's still mutter to sell it to a guy. Daf Yutes. On Shabbos, one is allowed to put food in front of a guy in a chatzer, since the dog does need to eat. And if the dog takes it with him to eat in the Rishus HaRabim, you're not mechuyev to stop him. And the same to a Nachri, Mipnei Darkei Shalom. We give tzedakah to poor anim amongst the Gayim in order to keep peace with the Gayim. On Friday, one should not rent out equipment to a guy to do malacha on Erev Shabbos, since it looks like you're renting it to him to do malacha on Shabbos. But on Wednesday or Thursday, it's okay. Beis Shammai says it's also to give a guy a letter to deliver to a different city on Erev Shabbos, unless he can reach the house in that town before Shabbos. Beis Hillel says it's okay as long as he can reach the wall of that city before Shabbos. The Gemara says also to travel by ship less than 3 days before Shabbos, if the ship will not arrive until after Shabbos. And Taisus explains as it looks like he's swimming, which is also on Shabbos. But if it's Lidvar Mitzvah, then it's Mutter. Finally, if a honeycomb was crushed before Shabbos, the honey that comes out is also to eat on that Shabbos. Rav Elazar says it's Mutter, since there's no Schita. The Mishnah. On Erev Shabbos, one cannot roast meat or eggs or bake bread unless he can roast it or bake it sufficiently before Shabbos begins. Because again, Rechayshah Shem Yechata B'Gecholim. To speed up the cooking process, he might move the coals on Shabbos. By the Karban Pesach, however, this is Mutter, even if it's just before Shabbos. Since if, accidentally, he begins to move the coals, a different member of the Chabura will remind him that it's Aser. Daf Chof the Gemara. How roasted must it be before Shabbos? Rav Lazar Omarav says, K'Michael Ben Drusoy cooks at least one-third. Ben Drusoy was a robber who ate his food quickly since he was in a rush. Also, Bishul Akam is normally usser, but if a Yehudi cooks at least the first third, Michael Ben Drusoy, then the guy can complete the process. Finally, the Gemara says for the Karban Pesach, or food of the Kohanim, it was mutter to begin cooking before Shabbos and continue the process on Shabbos in the Beis HaMikdash, and we were not afraid of Shem Yechata since Kohanim is Rizimheim. They were all B'nai Torah on a high state of alertness. This marks the end of the first parak, and Mirtz Hashem on the next day we will begin parak B'mem Etlikin, but at this point we will conclude this shir.